And there, of course, we had our little library segment. Now, a little bit of housekeeping, because I've got a fascinating guest coming up next.
If you recognise the signs of stroke, act F-A-S-T. Fast. F, facial weakness. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to act fast. If you suspect a stroke, seek immediate medical attention. Remember, face, arm, speech, time. Act fast and live. For more information, call 1-800-787-653 or visit strokefoundation.com.au. A message from the National Stroke Foundation.
To our prosperity,
to good health and happiness,
and most important, to life, l'chaim.
L'chaim, l'chaim,
to life. Is to the father I've tried to be.
Is to my pride to be.
Bring l'chaim
to life, l'chaim.
L'chaim, l'chaim, to life. Life has a way of confusing us,
blessing and bruising us.
Bring l'chaim to life. God would like us to be joyful, even when our hearts lie panting on the floor.
How much more can we be joyful when there's really something to be joyful for?
To life, l'chaim. To title my daughter,
my wife. It gives you something to think about.
Something to drink about.
Drink l'chaim.
Yes, what is it, Lizabeth?
And Montre drinks for everybody.
What's the big occasion, Lizabeth?
I am taking myself a bride.
Who's the lucky one?
Tevye's eldest, Zeitel.
Today's a walk to Tevye.
To Zeitel, your daughter.
My wife.
May all your futures be pleasant ones, not like our present ones. Drink l'chaim to life, l'chaim. L'chaim, l'chaim, to life. It takes a wedding to make us say, let's live another day. Drink l'chaim to life. We'll raise a glass and sip a drop of schnapps in honor of the great good luck that favored you. We know that when good fortune favors to such men, it stands to reason we deserve it too. To us and our good fortune, be happy, be healthy, love life. And if our good fortune never comes, kiss to whatever comes. Drink l'chaim to
wonder there. We just might leave that magnificent music from Fiddler on the Roof to life. And I guess the reason that I chose it is because my next guest, Melbourne businessman and philanthropist Ron Goldschlager and philosopher Rabbi Aidan Steinholz, have collaborated to write The Mystery of You and ask the big questions. How do individuals and society exist in a world of instant gratification, violence and dysfunction? Good morning and a very, very warm welcome. Well, not only are you a Melbourne businessman and philanthropist, but you're also a philosopher in your own right and you're an author.
Thank you. I don't see myself that way.
Well, I have been sent three chapters via email, and I read three chapters of your book. You're definitely a philosopher.
Oh, thank you.
And actually, I think this book is very exciting, The Mystery of You. Ron, in there, you hoped that the publication of this book will help people improve their lives, enjoy the journey more than the destination. The joys of life are in all of the little things along the way. Address that for me, please.
Thank you. Well, as I was thinking about these things, and you'll notice there's seven chapters, which we can mention in a sec, and I realized that really life is all about, especially today with people with instant gratification, it's all about the now. But the now has consequences in terms of where it's going and what it's worth, what the value is. And I think people who just live for the now end up being quite frustrated, unhappy people. And so everyone's searching. So I think that's what it's about.
That's rather interesting. In your chapters, now your introduction's very interesting, among other things. I got quite excited on, I think it was the second page. You and the rabbi read these chapters in draft form. Okay, you had an amazing time at the Vatican in Rome.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
That was really interesting because this was a few years ago. The Vatican hosted a fairly high-level interdenominational conference involving all of the major religions of the world, and the rabbi was there, so I was invited to come along with him. And we were there in residence for a week, and it gave us a lot of time together, walking in the garden and talking in between the sessions and discussing these things.
You wrote this book over a very long period of time, 10 years or so.
Yes.
And you were doing little snippets of, as thoughts came to mind, you would write them down.
Yes. Yes, I had a pad and a pen, and as these ideas flowed, quick, I'm printing away, writing because I'm left-handed, and so it came together.
And then you discussed them with the rabbi?
We talked together because we're close, and I think in a lot of things we have similar views. And he himself is interested in, very interested, he's committed to humanity and to trying to help to improve the world. My actually first chapter was about this so-called conflict between science and religion, which is now the seventh chapter in the book.
The conflict between science and religion is a very, very real one, but it doesn't. You're saying it doesn't need to be.
That's what I feel. That's actually where I started, because I was born Jewish, but I came from a traditional family, not observant. And as I sort of became more interested and more involved, and also my background, I'm scientific, I was a chemical engineer. So I saw apparent conflicts, and that's how the search started. I wanted to reconcile them. I wanted both to be correct, and not that one was right and one was wrong.
Right. I love the bit, and I think it's in the first chapter where finally you got to the, you know, you had the, I guess you had the main gist for a book, and you'd spoken with the rabbi, and I still haven't seen any of the chapters that he's involved in so far, so I'm really looking forward to that. But it then came to the point of this whole thing needed to be edited.
Yes.
Tell us about that story. That is a beautiful story.
Thank you. That was actually cute, because when the four chapters were, when the seven chapters were ready, plus the beginning and the afterword, and we needed to be professionally edited. And the rabbi lives in Israel, in Jerusalem. He's a great philosopher and writer. He's written over 60 books, and also you'll notice he's written his version or his interpretation of the Talmud, which is a lifelong, it's a massive work. And they do a lot of publication. They're involved in educational work all around the world. So there was a lady there called Yehudit, who does a lot of editing and translation in the Steinsaltz institutions. So we thought it was appropriate for her to be the editor.
And she took one look at this, and she said, I loved some of the verbiage you used. It did need a translation.
Well, she's a very, very proper and very polite lady, you have to imagine. Very, very proper and polite. So, I mean, I could sense in the body language, which this just wasn't for her, which is true, because in my words, it's a mess. It's not sort of orderly and organized the way a person should be. The writing was in a mess with ideas and thoughts and little stories. So she was very polite. And shall I tell you about the meeting with the rabbi?
Yes, please.
Thank you. So we met in the rabbi's office. I'd met with her before, the day before, and I could really tell that that this wasn't going to work. So we met in the rabbi's office and we sat around, and so he says to her, remember, they've been working together for years and years and years, they know each other well. So he says to her, well, you did. He says, what do you think? And she sort of looks at me in a quiet, shy way, and I said, come on, you did, just tell him how it is, tell him, you know. So she says, look, I'm sorry, I just can't do this. So he says to her, why? So she answers him in Hebrew, she says, Zelo Mesuda, which means it's not in order. In my words, it's a mess. So he looked at her, he's got those beautiful, beautiful deep eyes, humanity, and he's chuckled, and he's got in a beard, and he puffs on his pipe, and he said, look, I think this would be very good for you. So I don't know how much time we've got, there's more to the story.
Do it very quickly, we only have a brief one, but I would like to get your promise that you're going to come in for a whole hour on a Wednesday when you come back from your big trip overseas.
Oh, thank you.
I thought maybe the 21st of July, if I'm correct, because I think my first time on is in July is the 7th, then there's the 21st, and I think you only come back on either the 7th or the 9th.
Thank you. See, I've got two Maries in my life now. My Marie, who's my PA, she's wonderful, and you.
There you go. No. You've got to come in because you've got poetry. This is something that you can't really cover very quickly. But do tell me, you know, what the rabbi said to her. What made her change her mind? This has got quite a spiritual thread through it.
Thank you. Well, he looked at her and he said, no, I really think this would be good for you. So she said, look, I don't understand, she said, been repeated, Zelo Mesuda, you know, it's not in order. So he smiled, and this is real Steinsaltz. He's an unbelievable genius. He's an all-rounder. He's in science, art, religion, history, philosophy, animals, he's in everything. Very sweet man, very modest. So he says, look, he says, you did, have you ever seen a Japanese garden? And she said, yes. And he said, well, what do you see? I'm being fast. So he said, look, if you look at an English garden or a French garden, everything is very orderly. You know, it's all trimmed, it's neat and tidy, everything's in place. He said, it's mesuda. But if you look at a Japanese garden, on a first look, there's a tree over there and a rock here and, you know, maybe some water, and it doesn't look mesuda, he says, and it's not for everybody. He says, but if you sit inside and you have a closer look, he says, you also find a beauty there. That's what he said to her.
And I think also at the base of all the things that we take on in life, the challenge, it's pointless doing it if it's just easy and drips off. You know, we can trip along and do it. It is the challenging things that we should be tackling, the things that are difficult, the things that are not in order in life.
Yeah, we have to ask the questions. It'll be my privilege to send you a book. I'd like to mention we've got the most beautiful art. There's an artist in Melbourne called Victor Meisner. Australian art is very accomplished, and he's made the most beautiful spiritual art as part of the book.
And it sounds... Look, I'm really, really looking forward to reading it. That sounds wonderful. Now, you are launching the book on May the 9th.
Yes.
Where?
The launch will be at Caulfield Town Hall. It's actually Mother's Day.
Oh, my goodness.
It's in the late part of the afternoon.
Right.
And we'll have a few nice drinks, and we've got invitations. So in case you have anybody who would like to come... it would be our honour. It's going to be more of a sort of a warm and intimate launching, It's not like a public launching, but there's a lot of people coming. But if people are keen to come, we're happy to send them an invitation.
Ron, I can't imagine a very intimate little thing with a Jewish community. I think every man and his dog and grandmother is going to be there.
We'll have to see that we have less Jewish people than a lot more non-Jewish people, and then it'll be orderly, you know.
No, look, I think the important thing about life is let's look at the things that bind us as people, not the things that divide us.
100%.
And now, so Ron is the author of The Mystery of You. It is a what little I have read, the three chapters I've read, have really piqued my interest, and I'm dying to read the rest of it.
Thank you. Well, we actually have a website. It's called mysteryofyou.com.au.
Okay.
And so people can find it there, and it's already available in some of the retail shops. It's more around the Melbourne area at the moment, but it's going nationally now.
Fantastic. Now, also, the profits are going to charitable causes, which is absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
And, of course, it fits in with your philanthropic side of life.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron, so much for coming on, and I look forward to... Now, the 21st of July is a date.
Okay, we'll make that a date. It'll be my pleasure to meet you personally.
Fantastic. Look forward to it.
And we'll send you a book.
Thank you, thank you.
Would you like more than one book?
Well, okay. What about we have one for... we have it as a prize here.
With pleasure. And what I'll do... Are we still on air or are we off air?
We're still on air.
Sorry. What I'll do is our publicist, Rachel, who contacted you...
Yes.
I'll let her be in contact with you, and that would be an absolute pleasure. We'd be happy to give you some books for that. That'd be beautiful.
I thank you very much.
Bye, Marie.
Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, God took a Daniel once again, stood by his side, and miracle of miracles, walked him through the lion's den. Wonder of wonders, miracle of miracles, I was afraid that God would frown, but like he did so long ago in Jericho, God just made a wall fall down. When Moses softened Pharaoh's heart, that was a miracle. When God made the waters of the Red Sea part, that was a miracle too. But of all God's miracles, large and small, the most miraculous one of all is that out of a worthless lump of clay, God has made a man today. Wonders, miracle of miracles, God took the tailor by the hand, turned him around, and miracle of miracles led him to the promised land. When David slew Goliath, yes, that was a miracle. When God gave us manna in the wilderness, that was a miracle too. But of all God's miracles, large and small, the most miraculous one of all is the one I thought could never be. God has given you to me.
Oh, there you are. That was To Life, of course, from that wonderful Fiddler on the Roof.